morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. I would like to welcome back all members of the committee who have been on a month's break from the normal business of Parliament in order to perform constituency work. We hope you had a wonderful break to be with your loved ones and had a positive experience with your various constituencies. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to extend our greatest appreciation to all organizations and individuals who have contributed to this final leg of the amendments to the legislation. For this committee, work commenced in 2009 when public hearings on labor broking were held here in Parliament, and subsequently the same work was undertaken in various provinces. Our objective then was to listen and understand the nature of the labor broking industry and to receive authentic views from the workers and business alike. What the committee found were shocking cases of abuse of workers by labor brokers that took most of the little earnings that workers fought for so hard to attain. However, the gap between various submissions was so wide and there seemed to be no middle ground to reconcile the two opposing views. However, looking at the current amendments, it is quite clear that a lot of work has gone into crafting this amendment. For this, the committee wishes to thank all social participating partners at NEDLAC who have dedicated all their time to engage with each other. As the committee, we also understand the challenges of social dialogue that issues tend to drag for some time without a solution. These are challenges of politics of representing others. Although to be realistic, it is also important to acknowledge that not everyone is satisfied with the outcomes. Therefore, Parliament further provides a platform where everyone has an equal right to make further submissions on any issue with the intention to strengthen our legislation. So it is important for everyone to understand that these aren't cast in stone. We therefore warmly wish that you'll make your submissions and the committee shall listen to them objectively and look at all the recommendations at a later stage to determine the constitutional alignment of all the amendments. We've got to hinge everything we do on the Constitution. That is very important. Finally, all we all know, there is no silver bullet to the labor market imperfections. Therefore, all we can offer is a platform and a commitment to engage and consult in order to come up with a balance needed to protect workers and protect business interests of making profits and improve productivity. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to acknowledge and welcome the following organizations that or individuals who will be making their presentations today. We have the DLA Cliff Decker of Mayor, HR City today, ESCOM, BHF, Board of Health Care Funders of South Africa. We have American Chamber of Commerce in South Africa. We've got the SABPP. We've got the Forestry South Africa and FedHASA. You all welcome. I should have started by saying who I am. My name is Alec Nchabeleng, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Labor. And I'll give members of Parliament to introduce themselves and everybody else who is to speak after that have to introduce themselves. We can't take, it's going to take long. And by the time the last person introduced themselves, we have forgotten who the first person's name was. Because we are fewer, you could remember our names. Over to you. I said I'm Alec Nchabeleng, the chairperson of the committee.
My name is Adrian Williams. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, everyone. I am Lusizo Makubela Mashede.
Lubo.
Good morning. My name is Sijamo Tofu Mutau. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Toko Masrumule, a member of the committee. Party Khanare, I'm a deputy member of the
Welcome members. We have an apology from Honorable Advocate Anton Albert. He's not going to be with us due to party responsibilities. The other apology we have is from the Whip, Buti Manamela, who will join us later today. He's dealing with matters related to his child at school, so we excuse him. The education of the child is very important. He can join us later today. Thank you very much. I'll take this opportunity to Honorable Lyne, will you introduce yourself?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, everybody. My apologies for being late. I'm Ellen Lyne. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Welcome, Honorable Lyne. Without much, I'll give this opportunity to the DLA Cliff Steger of Mayor. You've got 15 minutes. We're going to give, because everybody, people who are here have given written submissions. We have the submissions. We went through them. The 15 minutes we're giving you is to give us a summary. That is the main point, the salient points in your presentation. So we'll listen, we'll take notes, and then we'll engage later. And what we'll do if there are... And later after the presentations, we'll ask questions on matters of clarity. We're not going to debate your presentation. We'll scratch the surface in instances where things are not very clear. We can't understand certain things. So we'll probe deeper to get more info. That is all we'll do for today. And then later, after this, next week, when the committee sits, we'll then engage and look at your presentation. I'll give over to the first presenters. You've got 15 minutes to give us a brief summary of your presentation. Over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Just a little bit. We have a technical problem. As you can see, the screens are not showing what we want to see. So, and I guess everybody has the presentation. We made copies for everybody. So, as they are still fixing the technical stuff, the technical equipment here, our gadgets, our toys, then we'll engage as we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
That's your name.
Yes, good morning. My name is Gavin Stansfield. I'm a director at Cliftecker Hoffmeyer here in Cape Town in the Employment Law Department. I'm at an immediate disadvantage because I must confess that the presentation which you have printed in front of you has been amended slightly on account of last-minute client instructions yesterday afternoon, so I apologize. I was hoping to have the amended one up on the boards, but by and large they haven't changed, and the thrust of what we would like to say at today's hearings remains the same. But if you hear me deviate from the written material in front of you, you will understand why. I will have, in fact, amended copies of the presentation are being printed and they'll be available for collection when you leave. I'm here today on the instructions of the Real Estate Business Owners of South Africa, REBOSA. REBOSA is a Section 21 non-profit entity. It's an independent voluntary organization representing the interests of all South African real estate businesses, large and small. The key focus, it was formed only last year, so it's a relatively new organization. Its key focus is the organization, or of the organization, is to unite, transform, uplift, empower, and develop the real estate profession across all areas of the market, achieving an environment for businesses to thrive in and expand whilst contributing to a vibrant economy. Now, unlike most of the presentations which you're probably going to be hearing over the next few days, This presentation is very much industry specific, and I'd ask you just to bear that in mind. Of course, making representations on pieces of legislation which are of general application can be challenging. So I would, because of course one can't legislate in a piece of legislation of general application such as the Labor Relations Act and the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, you can't legislate necessarily industry specific. And of course, in terms of our labor relations structures, we have different entities for that in order to make it industry specific. But I'd nonetheless just ask you to bear that in mind in terms of the presentation and where we are coming from in relation to the proposed amendments to the Act. For those of you who are, you're all aware in general of how the estate agency business works. Its main business is the brokering of the sale and purchase of property between owners and purchasers. That includes obviously rental agreements between lessors and lessees, and that's of a commercial and of a residential nature as well. Revenue is generated predominantly from commission that is paid to a state agent when a sale or agreement is concluded. In general, across the estate agency industry in South Africa, there is no fixed or basic salary payable to estate agents. And they predominantly negotiate their own commission based on the value of the property sold, alternatively the value of the lease which may be concluded. Commission gets payable and estate agents are remunerated upon registration or transfer in the case of a sale of property, or upon the receipt of deposit and or payment of monthly rentals in the case of rental property. Insofar as working hours are concerned, generally estate agents determine their own working hours. They're not prescribed to be at the office at fixed times at any days during the week, and as I said, generally they determine when they carry on their business and how. Agencies are predominantly small, family-run businesses operating as franchisees, SMMEs, and single entities with multiple branches. Our franchisees are not typically owned by the franchisor. They are rather independent business entities, independently owned and managed. And the large, well-known agencies tend to be fragmented based on their business models. What I mean by that is there is a large variation in terms of the models upon which estate agents across and estate agency franchisors and franchisees operate across the country. The financial implications of this, insofar as estate agents are concerned, is that it's a tough industry to succeed in as an estate agent. And our figures show that approximately 5 to 10% of new agents remain after a period of 6 months. So it's a tough industry, especially over the last few years, I'm sure all would acknowledge. It's a risk-based entity insofar as the estate agent is concerned. And the reason for that is because the only income generated is on the successful registration of a property or conclusion of a lease deal, which means that the agent carries the burden of overheads and marketing costs. And this is especially the case in the first few months because an estate agent is generally not remunerated in the first few months until their first sale is ultimately registered at the time of transfer. Now, relevant definitions in terms of the Estate Agency Affairs Act is obviously the piece of legislation which governs the industry. Employ includes using the services of an independent contractor. It's a specific inclusion into the definition of employee in terms of the Estate Agency Affairs Act, and the same is insofar as the definition of employee and employer. And in fact, it says it renders as an independent contract any service referred to in the definition of what an estate agent agency business is deemed to carry on. And the independent contractor is deemed to be an employee of the estate agent. That's just in terms of the definition in terms of the Estate Agent Agency Affairs Act. Now, typical role players within the industry, principals are generally the owners of real estate agencies and persons who acquire equity in those agencies. Non-principals are generally qualified estate agents who are contracted by a principal estate agent, but they are not owners. It's typically not an employer-employee relationship, and that is the even though there is a fragmented business model across the industry, the vast majority of them run on an independent contracting and not an employee basis. And that is, as I said, a person referred to as an estate agent in terms of Section 1 of the Estate Agency Act. Employees, you do find them within the industry. These are, sometimes you find them as estate agents themselves. More often than not, it is administrative staff acting within estate agents, such as secretaries, bookkeepers, etc., etc. An interim estate agent is the other type or category of person within the agency, and that's generally an unqualified entrant to the industry serving under the supervision of a principal for 12 months. enrolled as learners at an accredited training provider and must obtain their FET certificate real estate within 12 months and then normally remunerated in accordance with an agreement between themselves and their principal. Now, the interplay between the definition of employee and employee in the State Agency Act, I've already said it specifically includes an independent contractor. The reason for this was due to a lacuna. It was amended in terms of 1986 in terms of an amendment act, and that was based on a lacuna in terms of which only employees were deemed to be, well, were defined as falling within the definition of employee. And that had the effect that insofar as independent contractors were concerned operating under the State Agency Affairs Act, the only obligation that they had to comply with prior to the 1986 amendment was that they had to have a valid Fidelity Fund certificate. That was amended, which means that the obligations incumbent upon estate agents in terms of the Estate Agency Affairs Act apply both now to independent contractors and employees, and that's been the case for more than 20 years. Now, insofar as the definition in Section 213 of Employee in the Labor Relations Act is concerned, the definition, as you all know, specifically excludes an independent contractor. So it's defined as any person excluding an independent contractor who works for another person for the state and who receives or is entitled to receive any remuneration. The definition of employee in terms of the Labor Relations Act takes precedence over the State Agency Act and any other act. That's Section 210 of the Labor Relations Act. Now, a situation that has arisen over many years within the industry, and again, I'm making all of these submissions from an industry perspective. You will probably know that there has been a vast amount of uncertainty insofar as the state agency industry is concerned regarding whether or not these agents are typically regarded as employees or estate agents. The locus classicus on this is the McKenzie case and SABC Broadcasting, which relied on the dominant impression test. There are divergent views on whether estate agents are employees or independent contractors, and this has been filtering through in terms of our case law and judicial precedent over many years, as I've said. Now, we say respectfully that the confusion that exists within the estate agency business, and although this is an industry-specific submission, you can apply this submission in respect of all independent contractors across all types of industries. We say that it is affecting negatively on those respective industries, and our industry in particular, and the confusion leads to confusion in terms of rights and obligations which are incumbent upon estate agents either as independent contractors and or employees. And insofar as those rights and obligations are concerned, I need only mention basic employment legislation such as the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which of course estate agents' principals typically are at odds in trying to work out whether or not they should be providing for basic employment rights such as annual leave, such as sick leave, such as the deduction of tax, of course, in terms of the Income Tax Act. I know that has its own definition in terms of the full schedule, but you can understand the confusion and the manner in which it is affecting business in terms of this particular industry. Now, the criteria that have been deemed to apply, and so certainly insofar as the dominant impression test is concerned, is naturally the employer's right to supervision and control, whether the employee forms an integral part of the organization of the employer, and the extent to which the employee is economically dependent on the employer. Those are some of the factors that the courts have been relying upon, and some of those factors are replicated in Section 200 capital A, which came in the 2002